Hello, everybody. Dr. Lonnie Stewart here from the Healthcare Education Transformation Podcast. Are you a physical therapy student about to start studying for the National Physical Therapy Examination? Or maybe you're a professor, a program director, or a clinical instructor who teaches DPT students preparing for the NPTE? Either way, we would recommend checking out our sponsor, NPTE Final Frontier, and the community they've built around preparing for and succeeding on the NPTE. That exam and the preparation that goes along with it can be long, tedious, difficult, and stress-inducing, but it doesn't have to be. NPTE Final Frontier has the tactics and resources to help address all of the usual barriers. They even have scholarships to help with NPTE study courses, FSBPT registration fees, and even research opportunities. And if that's not enough, they're even donating to the very first annual HET Podcast Scholarship to be awarded at the end of every year. Go to npteff.com for all of the details and use code HET for 10% off all purchases. Links to both the NPTE Final Frontier and their scholarship options are available in the show notes. And now, let's get ready to learn.
Hello, everybody. Dr. F. Scott Feel here with another episode of the Healthcare Education Transformation Podcast. This is a bit of a special episode. It is a presentation that we did not too long ago with Dr. Kaylee Brockway and myself at the APTA's Educational Leadership Conference on how to get your proposals accepted at a conference. Very meta. It was definitely something that people had been asking the two of us, how you do. And truth be told, well, it's multifactorial. It involves a lot. And the takeaway message, I think, is you could do everything right, everything correct, everything by the book, give them everything they're looking for, and still not get accepted. So keeping that in mind, you know, we hope you'll excuse the audio a little bit because it was kind of accidentally recorded in a relatively large room from across the room. That was something that hopefully the audio comes through. If you do have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us at hetpodcast@gmail.com or reach out to me on any of the socials at PT Educator. I'd be glad to answer them for you. But we're also kind of putting together a reenactment or recreation of this slideshow as well that will be available on our YouTube channel in the not too distant future. So for now, hope you enjoy the audio version of this on the podcast, and we'll get you some more resources on the YouTube channel in the near future. Hope you enjoy.
Should we fire it up?
Sure. Sounds good. All right. So if you guys are having trouble hearing us, call out the awkwardness and let us know. All right. But Scott and I rarely use microphones, especially in rooms this small, mostly because if we do, we would probably have to have y'all sit in the hallway. But yeah, if you are having trouble hearing us, please just let us know and we'll pull the microphone back over. Also, we walk around a lot. We move a lot. So staying right here is really difficult for both of us. We're not going to introduce ourselves to start because we're actually going to do that as part of the presentation in a little bit. So I promise that we have some knowledge of this content and that we have a reason to be up here, box checked, but we'll get to that shortly. Also, our third speaker and special guest, Kitty Roll-Adderley, is joining us from the Bahamas today, but she pre-recorded her content for us, so you will be seeing her. She is specifically going to be speaking on how to get accepted to present at international conferences.
She couldn't be here because she was on a cruise, which I told her, living in the Bahamas is being on a cruise every day. Yeah. How are you going on a cruise? And she's like, I have to do this. We said, all right, we'll
figure it out. Yeah, it'll be fine.
Here we are.
Don't worry. All right. So disclosures, I'm Dr. Kaylee Brockway. I'm the founder of DrBThePT.com, which is a healthcare education consulting company.
I'm Dr. F. Scott Field, founder and CEO of PTEducator.com, a healthcare business and educational coaching and consulting company. And Dr. Kitty Roll-Adderley is the owner of Handling Your Health and Wellness, Nassau, Bahamas.
If you would like to come up, yeah, you're welcome to join us. I warned y'all. It's going to close halfway. He was just kind of hanging in the doorway. All right.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. So I really don't feel like I need to read the objectives to y'all. You know why you chose this session at 8 o'clock this morning. You know why you wanted to be here. And we're also going to revisit this slide a couple times throughout this presentation as part of designing proposals.
So very meta today. Very meta presentation, very meta slides, but I hope it'll work out.
Yeah.
I think it'll work out.
So let's talk about us then.
Now, I promise we are not this vain.
No.
There is a point to all.
So this is obviously not something that we would normally do in a presentation, but you all probably know that whenever you submit a proposal for a presentation, you have to provide your bio, right? So we're going to give you some examples today of our bios that we created for this presentation, along with some bios that we've created for other presentations.
Show of hands real quick. How many people have submitted to a conference and been accepted? Everybody almost, yes. How many have submitted to a conference and been rejected? Almost everybody, excellent. Right. How many have never submitted? One, all right, excellent, okay. Anybody submit to any international conferences? Successfully? Awesome.
Nice.
Awesome. All right, so now we got some other experts in the room. I love it.
All right. Who has submitted to CSM? Who didn't submit to CSM at least once because it was a little too overwhelming and scary? So there's like half hands.
Yeah.
All right, so as we kind of go through our bios a little bit here, what we really want to point out to you guys is what parts of your bios are really important. So the biggest key thing here, and we're going to have another slide totally dedicated to this, but when you write a bio for a presentation, you cannot just take your faculty bio and put it in your proposal for your presentation, okay? No one at all those conferences cares about all of those academic achievements. They need to know why you are the expert in the thing that you are proposing. So unless your academic achievements are directly relevant to that, don't even bother putting it in because it's not gonna help make the decision. So for this presentation, the first line of my bio was that I presented at APTA Combined Sections Meeting, ACRM, both APTA Texas and Michigan State conferences, and several local, public, and system-wide conferences in multiple states. So if I'm gonna tell you how to get accepted at conferences, I better tell you that I've been accepted at conferences, right? Otherwise, I have no legitimate standing to be here. And then why am I proposing this to ELC? Well, I want to make sure that other academics have these skills and this knowledge to get this achievement as well. So what is my academic status, right? Where am I? What do I teach and why does it matter? And what is my specialty? Well, I'm a GCS, but I specialize in treating patients with advanced heart and lung disease. So I am kind of the transplant therapist. And even though I do teach geriatrics and pharmacology, cardiopulm and inpatient acute care and home health are really my thing. And then where else have I been successful and why does this matter, right? I've co-authored textbook chapters and I've presented and published on high intensity interval training. And then in 10 days, I defend my dissertation. And everything else is done. I'm just in the waiting phase right now. Go ahead, Scott.
All right, so this is a little bit about who I am as a person, right? Husband, father, business owner, physical therapist, Amazon best-selling author, core faculty at St. Augustine, right? Newly promoted to senior learning and development specialist, whatever that means. This is kind of my like business bio, right? I'm a business coach, mentor, all that stuff, right? Spoken at APTA CSM, ELC, PPS, as well as several local and state conferences. So you're starting to see a theme here, right? And then areas of expertise, geriatrics, but mainly business, leadership, currently assistant professor at University of St. Augustine. So I am a professor, I do teach, but now I got this new position, which I haven't quite figured out yet. I'll do that maybe next semester. And then there's like other things in here that show who I am. So these are some of the things I would pull from, depending on which conference we're talking about and what information we feel would be pertinent to put in there to get an acceptance and show why we're the expert on what we do. All right, and then we got Kitty's bio as well. Big one here, she's not an educator, but she is passionate about education, right? That's a big one for her. That's why she's doing this. That's why she proposes all her things to these conferences, right? Top one here is the big one for her. Presented at World Physiotherapy Congress, right, in 2019. Presented at Multiple Medical Association of Bahamas, annual scientific conferences over the last 12 years. So again, her expertise, yes, she's spoken, but also she's spoken internationally, which is why we pulled her in for this specifically, because we don't have that experience. We can't really speak to it. So we're going to the expert to do that, right?
All right, so we said that we were going to call out the awkward throughout this entire presentation. So humble brags. These are the things that I have had accepted since, I guess going back to shortly after I graduated from PT school. So everything from manuscripts to education sessions at various meetings, and then all the way down to today.
So for mine, I didn't get accepted. We're going to tell you a little story about where we were to where we're at now. I didn't get accepted for my first conference till 2018, and it wasn't ELC. The only reason I got accepted is because Dr. Mary Blackington, shout out to her, gave us an opportunity with her platform. She was pretty much running the conference. It was like, I'm presenting on podcasting. You podcast, you want to come in and do this? I was like, yes, yes, I do. So I rode her coattails the whole way to get my first proposal, which then opened the door for all of these. Right? So again, I promise we're not this vain. We just want to show you this because the next slide will show you how we get to this.
Yes. And in addition, on my acceptances, I've got some stars over there. So every accepted thing, product, that has a single star is a product that I was mentored on. Every product that has a double star is a product that I mentored on. So mentorship is going to be a huge part of this presentation and is one of the key take-home points that we want to get through to all of y'all. But we're going to kind of dig more into that in a little bit.
And real quick, before we go to the next slide too, if you start to notice like what's being presented here, hopefully you're starting to see a little bit of a common theme, right? For me, podcasting, financial literacy, entrepreneurship, right? Getting a presentation accepted, career development, more entrepreneurship, right? So you're starting to see maybe a little bit of a research agenda kind of between the two. That's going to become important, right? Because that's going to be part of your why eventually.
And my themes aren't so obvious because I really thought I was going to be a pediatric physical therapist when I graduated. So that's where I did all of my research.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
You can take a left turn at Albuquerque. It's fine.
But that actually came back around again. And I said I wasn't going to use a laser, but I will because otherwise I'm blocking it. So I actually mentored a student who did a project on hippotherapy and cerebral palsy.
The hippotherapy specialists in the room, they'll be presenting next after this one.
And that presentation, because I had some understanding of working with children with cerebral palsy, ended up getting us two more products. We had the poster at Texas State, and then we also presented it at CSM. And it won the ALI's Global Health SIG Award for Social Responsibility. So, you know, that kind of weird tangent on the pediatrics there, but the rest of my stuff is all chronic disease management and in the geriatric population. So if you kind of look through there, that's really the theme where that's my scholarly agenda and it is woven through there. It's just not as obvious. And then we're going to call it the upward. So just as many as I have accepted, I've also had plenty rejected. And you don't get to the acceptances without the rejections.
So I want to tell a quick story with my journey. This was like shortly after I graduated. I wrote a grant for a hospital system up in Charlotte using the Nintendo Wii for balance and stuff. And they loved it so much, they implemented it in all the outpatient facilities for a hospital system. It was pretty big then, but now it's even bigger. It's over across a couple of different states. And I was like, this is awesome. I'm presenting this, right? So I submitted it to CSM 2011, and the neuro section rejected. I was like, all right, maybe I'm just in the wrong section. 2012, rejected. All right, ortho didn't like it. One more time, I got an idea. Let's try it with private practice because they could implement this, right? It's plug and play. 2013, rejected. All right, I need to pivot. Clearly, they don't like the Nintendo Wii, so that's not working, right? Let's go in different directions. Oh, I know. I had a capstone project about jumping and landing and knee injuries with female athletes. That was my graduation project, right? So I was like, let's try that. Tried it in ortho, rejected. Tried it next year in sports, rejected. I don't know what's going on. I have these great ideas, right? But I was presenting solo. I was putting it out there just as me with a good idea. They're going to love this. And boom, I put it out there. That wasn't working. Then I got some mentorship from Dr. Mary Blackington, and it started to make sense. I wouldn't have got accepted to ELC if I just proposed my podcast idea, but because she did, she's like, I want to present on this. Come along with me, utilize my name, utilize my credibility, utilize my coattails, and we'll get you in, we'll go that way. And that opened the door, that opened the floodgates. So we'll talk a little bit more about that.
And as you can see from my list too, the majority of the things that I have had rejected were things that I put forward on my own. I may have had a research partner or something, especially with that COPD manuscript that has been rejected four times now from four different journals. And man, does that process take a long time to keep repeating. But it's just me and my one research partner. There's no mentorship, and it just keeps getting rejected. We think it's a really cool study, but we haven't found anyone else who thinks so. But that's okay. And as you can also see, this presentation has gotten rejected already from CSM 2024. So we're going to get into the details of this a little bit later, but the audience and the platform are also very important, and you have to find the right one for the magic to happen. Okay, so the who, what, where, when, and why of proposing to conferences. So as Simon Sinek said, we're going to start with the why. So what's your why, right? What is your thing? Why do you need to propose to conferences? For us, we're both professors, right? So we have to have those scholarly products if we want to get promoted. So that's important.
Show of hands. How many people are in a university that has tenure track?
Oh, right. Man.
Yum. Wow. Yeah. How many are in a track that does not have tenure track? Yeah, a couple more. This is just my humble opinion. I feel like tenure track is kind of dying. It's kind of going the way of like the dinosaurs, and you know, it's just not going to be around much longer, like pensions. So like, you know, there's still a need though, right? We have a promotion track where every 5 years you have to submit your package for promotion, and scholarly products are a big part of that. So conferences count, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But also there's something to be said for owning your passion. Right? Maybe you want to be the expert in the thing that you're most passionate about.
So for me, I like to call it zone of genius, right? That's how I use it in business. That's how I use it in my class. What is the thing that you love, that you're passionate about, that you would do for free if you could all day, every day, the population you love working with? Whatever that is, lean into that, because I promise over a long period of time, it just gets easier to stick with. When things get hard, you're not going to bail on it. And it's interesting to you. It's something that you like doing, that you enjoy researching. Like, if you're gonna put in research, research is hard work. Submitting is hard work. But if you're gonna do something hard, you might as well enjoy it, right? So this starts to build expertise and authority and brand, right? And I'm a big fan of brand, because what brand is nowadays is your reputation. It used to be your reputation was what people talked about behind your back, and obviously you hoped it was good things, right? Nowadays with social media, your brand is what you put out. It's forward facing, it's products, it's you, it's your passion, that's it. You wanna be known as the guy or the gal that does that thing. Oh, that's the neuro guy. Oh, that's the peds girl. You know, like, you wanna have a thing, because that thing is gonna build expertise and authority, and you can use that as a jumping point to go into other bigger presentations, books, publications, whatever it may be.
And because physical therapy as a profession has an altruism problem, not that there's anything wrong with altruism, but we really take it to the max. We also want to help others like us, right? Like, that's why Scott and I are here. We want to help others like us figure out the game of these systems so that y'all can get stuff accepted as well.
And it is a game.
It is a game, and we'll go into how to play shortly. We also want to improve patient care, though, right? My research track is using high-intensity interval training in patients that no one else will touch. I will use high-intensity interval training in someone that is on the brink of death, and it will make them better, and I can prove it. So I want to get that out there. You know, that's my thing, and I want to get that out there. But we also want to improve healthcare education, right? We want our students to love what we do just as much as we do. And we can show some of that through our scholarly products and through our passion in our presentations.
Yeah, I've kind of started working under my umbrella of my company, and I've started branding it as the professor of profit, right? Mm-hmm. Teaching students how to make more money, leveraging their skills and their DPT and all the things we learned in grad school, so that they can attempt to pay down those student loans quicker, right? But again, education's hard and it's expensive. So my thing is, the only way I'm gonna have impact in this world, in the physical therapy realm, is gonna be helping these students figure out how to manage that debt and how to pay it off and how to get paid what they're worth. Mm-hmm. So that's where my research agenda is starting to head now.
All right, so everyone needs to take just a few seconds and really think about maybe one or two things that you are super passionate about, like Scott is with helping students pay off their debt and leverage their expertise, and me with helping clinicians implement high intensity interval training in patients who we normally wouldn't consider. Think about that for a second and write down, if you have something to write with, or just remember, one to two things that are really your passion that you might want to propose to a conference and present on.
And if you guys are cool sharing, after you've written it down, your phone, your legal pad, if you're ADHD like me and like to see your handwriting. If anybody wants to share their zone of genius or their passion point, we'd love to hear it. I think I know some in the back row. Anybody want to share? Especially those three troublemakers.
Start us off.
So my zone of genius is I work with horses and riders to help with health and wellness for both equine and equestrian athletes.
Talk about a niche, right?
Right.
That's super niche. And really cool because there's a need. And not many people are doing it. So guess who's filling that need? The expert, right? Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Please.
Health data economics.
Whoa.
Whoa, super important.
I look at big data.
Big data.
Oh, man. God bless you, man. Yeah. That's not me.
Yeah. That's amazing, though. It's so needed.
Appreciate that. Yes.
Community-driven health initiatives.
Yes.
Data. Love it. Population health and stuff. Now we're starting to get into a cool realm.
Well, and also, check it out. We just met maybe a research partner.
Yes.
Right?
We need those data people for sure, because I ain't it.
Anybody else? Yeah.
Geriatric pelvic health.
Yes. Oh. Yes.
Niche. I love it.
Incontinence comes with everything I treat. So
yes.
Yes.
Niche. Who said, like, is there a proper pronunciation on that for consensus in the room? Niche. I like niche.
Jeb.
Go with niche.
Jeb, what you got?
Competency-based education. Ooh. What that looks like with anatomy and pain science.
It's been a good conference for you.
Yes. It's a good conference for me for that as well. Yes. We're switching over that way. So
yes.
As it seems like the field of physical therapy is a little behind, but we're getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I teach in a PTA program, so the role of instructors in writing questions to prepare students for the MPT.
That's
so
huge.
Important.
Item writing.
Yeah.
Test of question writing. I'm not an item writer, but I had to learn from item writers because my questions were garbage. I was an English major before I became a PT. I thought I could just write scouring stories and beautiful case studies, and everybody was like, no, this isn't it, man.
And I am an item writer, and it's still hard, and it took years to learn how to do it well.
Yes, awesome.
Oh, yeah. So I do older adults' falls prevention.
Nice.
So,
yes.
So one of the big projects we're wrapping right now, we did a 3-year collection where we charged an insurance company per assessment, and we were using that for pre-data to go after an NIH grant.
Nice.
Ooh.
So, love it.
The more you can charge an insurance company, the better.
Yes.
Absolutely. And there's some big data play into that too, right? Like with the reimbursement piece of it and the coding. Yeah, there's huge pieces there. I can see a project coming together.
Yeah.
I really can.
We're in the right room. We're in the right room with the right people. I love it.
All right. So hang on to your passion, hang on to your why. We're going to use it in a minute. All right. So the next is the what, right? What do you propose? So within your area of expertise, you all have identified already some pretty big gaps in what we already currently do and know that you as the expert and the passionate person can fill. Do you have a gut feeling, right? Like my gut feeling in 2015 after going to CSM and seeing the HIIT presentation was, oh my gosh, all of my patients need this. Why have I not been doing this, right? And then that gut feeling led to an entire research agenda over the last 8 years. And it's not done. We're still going. And it's not slowing down in any way.
So I can give a real example of the gap. I submitted a proposal with some people from APTA's PPS section 2 years ago to ELC, basically called We're All in Private Practice, meaning that whether or not you own a private practice or you do private practice, you have to know business acumen to know how we get paid, how we get reimbursed, how different settings can pay out, et cetera, right? And I felt like our students weren't getting this education enough to know what they were walking into when they graduated.
You can tell he's passionate about
this.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry, and he's from New York.
Caveat, and I've had 2 cups of coffee. So, this is be- so essentially what happened was when we submitted, all of our references were from 2018 and above, but they said, oh, they were from Canada and Australia. There weren't enough from the US. So I said, oh, okay, we got rejected. No problem, we'll learn from this. So I go back the next year, I resubmit. I go to our librarians and I say, find me this, all the data from the US. Zero studies. That's why there was no US data, because it didn't exist. So I go back the next year and I say, same presentation, tweaked it, added some active learning like you asked, all the things you asked for, giving it to you on a platter. The reason there wasn't US data, because there isn't it. So I'm taking it on me to do the data now, to do the business acumen research and see with our business entrepreneurs and private practice student special interest group, if they start it and finish it, do they get better business acumen? Mm-hmm. Rejected. Come on, man. So now I'm actually doing the study, and in 2 years, I'm gonna put it out there again and say, hey, what do you think now? There is data and it's mine. Am I the expert yet?
What does it even take?
Yet to be determined, we'll see. But yeah. Here's the other thing too. I just want you guys to know you can have all the best things from this presentation, do everything right, and still get rejected. So don't worry, keep going, right? Jim, if anybody, I'm a big sports fan, Jim Valvano, when he gave his speech at ESPN, don't give up, don't ever give up. Mm-hmm. That's the key takeaway, I think.
Mm-hmm. And also, you need to consider your mode of presentation, right? Like, this is an education session because we want to tell y'all how to do this. But maybe for what you are passionate about, it's not the right thing. Maybe for big data, a poster would be better, or a platform, because it's more data specific. But maybe not. Maybe you've got some cool pictures you want to show and some videos of how we're using that data, and that's cool too. Then maybe an education session is better. But also don't forget about things that we don't do at our conferences, okay? If you go to IMESH, the simulation conference, they do things like product demos and presentations. They do pitches. They do 15-minute pitches that are just like flying off the cuff really fast. They do sim demonstrations where they immerse you in an actual simulation and you participate in it. I tried to propose that to CSM last year. It didn't go so off. They were like, we can't do that. It's like, well you can, and I'll tell you how, but you have to let me actually show you. Right. Still working on that. But there's also things like hands-on workshops that you can actually get your people engaged and doing the things. It's just that we don't actually do that at most of our conferences. So we're gonna be talking a little bit more about outside of PT conferences, so preview to coming events, as my old professor Barb Hugenboom used to say all the time. But there's also something to be said for advocacy platforms too. We know that PTs do this stuff. No one outside of PT knows that we do this stuff. And the people where that is really important is legislators, right? Because they have so much control over our profession and our scope and all of that stuff. So especially with things like big data, we have to tie an advocacy platform to a lot of those presentations if we're really hoping to make change. So don't leave out advocacy either. So how do you know what to choose? I do this presentation for our physical therapist practice one course across a few different campuses, our universities, lots of different campuses. And it's all about advocacy and how to advocate for your profession as a student. And in this presentation, I have them actually do a debate within their small groups, and they argue for what's the better sandwich filling, peanut butter or jelly, right? And they have like 5 minutes to come up with an advocacy platform for their sandwich filling. And it always goes really poorly, and it ends in arguments, and that's fine. That's actually exactly what I want to happen, because it gives me the opportunity to talk about the importance of knowing your audience and what they want, how they want it, and how they talk about it. So you really have to know the language of the people you want to present to, and you also have to identify who those people are. When we propose this, it's like, where can we make the biggest difference? Well, this is really geared towards academics, so we need to look at an academic conference. Now, at CSM, yeah, we're gonna hit a lot of those people, but if we really wanna narrow in, ELC is the better platform for this presentation. But if it's something more like a pitch, maybe this isn't the conference, and neither is CSM. Maybe if you have a pitch or a product or a business or something like that, you need to look outside, because you're not gonna get what you want out of the audience here.
And I've got a proposal in. It's temporarily waitlisted, we'll see, for South by Southwest EDU conference, mm-hmm. which in Austin, which is where I'm based. South by Southwest is a big concert, right? Like event, it's like 2 weeks worth of concerts and tech and movies and video. The 4 days before the concert stuff, there's a conference called South by Southwest EDU for educators. Totally outside of PT, but the presentation that we presented or proposed was about neurodiversity and neurodivergence and ADHD stuff. And again, not really sure where it would fit exactly. So we brought it to a conference outside of PT, with two PT experts who have ADHD talking about success strategies and how you can help learners, educators, and eventually employees with ADHD. So, you know, that's where I put that one first. It's temporarily accepted. We'll see what happens. They just need to find a space for it. They said we love it. We just don't know where to put it. So that we're testing the waters. We're seeing, you know, I don't know.
Yep. And for the pain management in chronic obstructive pulmonary disease manuscript, we also had a poster that came along with that project. So for that poster, we were like, do we submit that to CSM? Well, I mean, physical therapists already know that physical therapists help with pain management in patients who have COPD, right? Like, that's nothing new. So our audience isn't really physical therapists for that project. So who is our audience? Well, it's the referral sources, right? Like, we need the physiatrists on board with this. So that presentation and poster had to go to the physiatrists at ACRM because that's where they are. And because we targeted the right audience on that one, it got accepted. Because those are the people that really want to know that information.
All right, major key alerts. So these are going to be some of the big take homes we want you guys to focus on to really get the most traction out of your proposals. Those of you that are DJ Khaled fans, that's where the major key alert came from. Students still kind of relate to him a little bit, so I think we're okay. But your bio should be different for every conference proposal you submit. And it should highlight why you are the expert and authority in this subject matter. So remember, if we go back to the original bios at the very beginning, we had all that information about who we are, what we do, why we're experts, where our expertise lays, and everything we've done up to this point. You pick and choose which data from that bio is going to go in that specific proposal. Every conference, like we said, it should be different. Every conference, you have to have things in your bio that speak to the people you're putting that proposal into. Everybody on the proposal's bio should be different and specific to that conference and that proposal.
So as an example, here is my bio for our accepted poster at the American Congress of Rehab Medicine. I'll let you take a read through. It's long, it's a giant chunk, right? Because that's how bios always are. But there are some things that you will learn about me from this bio that are not in my bio for this presentation. Like, I am leading the guideline development group for the development of a clinical practice guideline for COPD management for physical therapists with the APTA Cardiovascular and Pulmonary Academy. That isn't here because it's relevant to the fact that I'm presenting on COPD management, right? It's not relevant to this proposal, even though I am using it as an example. It's not relevant to this proposal at all. It's a really cool thing I do. But it's not relevant. So it's not in the bio for this proposal. There's some other stuff in here about my research agenda in chronic disease management. That's not in the bio for this proposal either. So some of you took some pictures of my last bio. If you take pictures of this one for comparison, you will see how different they really are and how geared exactly towards the proposal they also are. So this is where we do a little work. Now you have the who and the what and the maybe the why. So we're going to work together to start crafting some of your bios specific to your passion project that you thought about a few minutes ago. So you can use a proposal you've already created, or maybe you can create a new one, but you must write a new bio today for yourself. Okay? Just a little hint, and again, future events. You are graded on your bio if you propose to combine sentence meaning. So one of the things that's in the bio for this proposal, but not in the bio for ACRM, is that I'm the section programming chair for APTA Geriatrics. So don't throw the tomatoes, but I actually make the decisions about who presents at CSM. I like duck a little bit. And I know that there's a lot of controversy around that and who gets selected. And on the platform formerly known as Twitter, it's usually blowing up around the time that decisioning comes out. But that's kind of why I wanted to do this, is there's such a misunderstanding about what that process actually is. And I'm so happy to make it more transparent for all of you so that you know. I don't want to see Twitter blow up every time we have decisions. I have to answer a lot of angry emails. It's okay, that's part of my job. But I would rather just help y'all with what I email back to all those people so that y'all just know anyway. So let's kind of work together, small groups. We're gonna walk around, we're gonna talk about it, and we're gonna start writing out some bios together. All right? And
there's two ways you can approach it. You can start constructing your big pool of like things that every conference proposal from here on out you can pick from, or you can go really narrow down and like, I know a conference, I have a proposal, here's the bio, here's what needs to be in that bio, right? It's nice to have that big pool to pick from, so like when you get back, take your university bio, put that in a Word doc, take some other things, some other, you know, ideas and things about who you are, put that in the doc, and then start picking and choosing for each proposal from here on out.
If you already have an academic CV, like that's your pool of things, right? You may want to add some personal stuff depending on the proposal, but that's your pool. Like go to your CV and start pulling what is relevant to that proposal.
Yeah, so chat it up with your neighbors, work on it, talk about ideas you have. You've got 2-3 minutes and then we'll circle back around and fire it back up again.
And if anyone creates one they want to share. All right, would anyone like to share their new bio? And like what type of proposal in your passion project is what it's for? Who's going to be the brave sharer? Or maybe thoughts on what you've changed in your bio based on what you now know we look for?
You've got the expert in the room. Utilize.
I'll start. We haven't.
Thank you.
We haven't attempted this yet, but Brian Pontiff and I, we're UTMB DCEs.
Okay.
And we're working on currently an acute care model within our own health system to try to help improve accessibility of acute care to students. So working on a bio for that and determining the conference. We were talking through options of conferences, ELC, CSM. Is there somewhere outside of PT that we can pitch that?
So IPE would be great for that, right? Any nursing conference, any MD conference, like anybody who's in acute care, let's start figuring out where those conferences are. A lot of times we don't really look beyond the big three, if you will. Like I think APTA, CSM, right? For me and us, I think a lot of it's ELC, right? And then for me, my big third one is PPS, right? Private practice. I'm on the education board there, and I owned a private practice and now I do other business. So like that one's a big one for me. So those are my big three. That's my comfort zone. South by Southwest EDU, that's a new leap for me. I don't know where I'm going there, so we'll see, right? But like, what are the conferences that are even available to you, right? We got to start thinking outside of PT conferences for a lot of reasons.
Oh yeah.
PTs don't conference well. We just don't.
We work too hard, y'all.
And once you see that, once you go to other conferences that are outside of your scope of practice, it's a wild ride.
Yeah.
So buckle up.
And now for a quick shout out to our newest sponsor, Varela Financial. If you're a physical therapist and you have student loan debt, you got to talk to these guys. What makes them unique is that they view financial planning like running hurdles on a track. And for PTs, the first hurdle many of us run into is student loan debt. Varela Financial will help you get over that hurdle. They not only take the time to explain to you which plans you individually qualify for and how those plans work, but they also take the time to show you what your individual case looks like, mapped out within each option. So if you're looking for help on your student loan debt or any area of personal finances, we recommend working with them. I use Varela Financial personally, and they were able to help me lower my student loan repayment from about $1,800 a month down to about $135 per month simply by finding the right repayment plan that best fit me, my family, and our life goals. You can check them out at VarelaFinancial.com. Link is in the show notes if you need it for reference, and tell them the HET podcast crew sent you. And now, back to the show.
At one of the APTA Michigan, now state conferences, some of the faculty, we were walking around and like our conference was done and we had had dinner and walking around, we hear all this noise. We're like, what the heck is going on? And we sneak into this back of the room and the PAs were having a conference and they had an entire ballroom packed with attendees at like 9:30 at night, doing like a quiz bowl thing between schools. And I mean, it was a wild, wild event. There was screaming, and there were scoreboards, and it was just like, I was like, what are we doing wrong?
Mass hysteria, cats and dogs living together.
Yeah, so we went up to one of the professors that we knew from our school, and we were like, what is this? And he was like, oh, you guys don't do this?
Sit around well in it. Pound coin slides. And lather, rinse, repeat.
Yes, yeah. And our PT students are, some of them are standing in the back and they're like, we know the answers. And I was like, oh, we are missing a trick here. So they are actually working on setting that up and implementing it. And the state of Florida is actually setting up a quiz bowl type student versus student with a faculty member that is the mediator. So it's starting, but yeah.
I was just going to iterate it. I was speaking with you that two of mine are, I've dovetailed off the programmers.
Yeah.
They don't know our knowledge.
Yeah. Right.
But we can tell them, and I wanted that
make
answer.
It work this way.
So go to their conference.
Yeah.
You're the expert. Yeah. They want your information. So that's a great way to do that.
Well, and just like with your statistician, like, they can do the math, right? But the data means nothing without the context.
They can give you
it. And the research question being worded properly, like, it's so important to have that context or the data is useless. So with the programmers can do all of that, but without the use of it, why?
We're the ones that need to bring that to fruition.
Yeah.
That's very much the case. I've thought about this because I've done some consulting for programming and for app development, and it's definitely providing the context behind what the data means. And they're looking for that.
Yes.
But I haven't considered. I haven't considered, well, you know, I'm working with all these individual ones. Going to a conference would make sense.
You know, where are your people?
At that conference, right?
It's a hotbed.
They're all there, I promise.
Yeah, and the nursing conferences are a big one too. They are so focused on IPE that you get yourself with a nurse and you propose to a nursing conference, boom, magic will happen.
You're gonna be very popular.
Your session will be one of the most popular ones there because they love the IPE portion of things. In our geriatrics class, we have our students create research posters around a topic of their choosing that they work on in a small group. And some of these students put forth some amazing products. So this past term, I had some students put together like the role of PTs in hospice and palliative care. And for them, this is new, right? They're just learning about all of this. But their poster was incredible. And we actually have it proposed right now to the Hospice and Palliative Care Conference, just to see. They're looking for student projects, and they didn't specify medical student, right? They just said student. So it's proposed to that conference right now, and we won't hear back until December, but we'll see what happens.
Most of the time, it's a mental block of like, we need permission.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
You don't.
You have the credentials. Just do it. Propose it. What are they going
to
say? No? Okay.
Can you tell me why?
Yeah, can you tell me why? Like, can I get some feedback so next time I know what you're looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just ask.
Yeah.
If you don't ask, you don't know, right? Wayne Gretzky, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right? Ask.
Mm-hmm.
Try.
Yep. And these things sound a little bit difficult. Like, well, how am I going to find that conference? You can go to people, right, who you're working with on the other parts of your projects. You can also just Google it.
Yeah, there's a website for that.
It's called Let Me Google It For You. But
shorten to google.com.
Yeah, yeah. You can Google it. Call for submissions for your thing. And you will find that there are plenty of conferences out there looking for what you do that have nothing to do with physical therapy. Now, I will caveat that with please watch out for predatory conferences.
Don't pay for that stuff.
Don't, if you have to pay to present or like, no, that's a big no. You shouldn't have to pay to present, especially not more than just like your proposal submission fee.
What's the easiest way to find the predatory conferences and journals?
If they seek you out
right. And
then tell you you have to pay, that's a big red flag. Like you get that LinkedIn message. We would love to have you, Dr. Brockway, and your expertise. It's only $500 to present.
Right. Dear sir/madam, avoid those.
If your name is in all caps, it probably came from a bulk email chain.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that one.
For journal submissions, go to your librarian.
Yes.
They are great resources. They know what's good and what's not. They've seen it millions of times at this point. They know.
And so, usually each of those journals is tied to an association that has a conference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So your librarians are your key player here in identifying predatory conferences.
Big shout out to librarians.
Huge for librarians. All right, I'm trying to make sure we hit all our points on this one. I think we have. The other one is Academy Strategic Plans. Like, so boring. Right? Holy cow, so boring. But if you want to find an academy at CSM or an organization outside of our profession that your work aligns with, go to their strategic plan.
Yeah.
Because that's their priority. That's where they're willing to invest.
And if you can like bend it a little to make your proposal work to fit into one of those. It may not be exact, but if you hit some keywords in there that work for your proposal, oh, they're salivating now. They're like, yes, yes, we need that one. Mm-hmm. Make it work, right? Bend it, twist it, yes.
Is there a length that you just don't want to go beyond when you're writing your bio?
It'll say usually 200 words, limited to 100 words. Like when you actually go to put it in, each one will be different, but it'll usually give you a limit. And then that's where the English major comes in. I had to edit the heck out of my bio to like bring it down and like kind of calm my ego a little bit.
And you don't have to be an English major to figure out how to do that. We're going to give you a trick for how to do that shortly. Any other questions? Cool. All right. So, and there's also this huge consideration of when, right? As academics, we are all like crazy drowning most of the time. So you have to consider your bandwidth. Do you really have the time to put together another proposal and then figure out the presentation and find the speakers and do all of that before the conference deadline, right? When you're out there looking for those calls for proposals and stuff like that, you've got to know the deadline. Look at the deadline, super important. And sometimes you may only have a week. You might be able to pull it together in a week, but it might not be the best quality proposal either if you have to cram it together.
And I've started creating a Google Doc, an Excel spreadsheet type thing of all the conferences I'm interested in and could possibly fit and when their due dates are approximately, so that every year I know about when proposals are gonna be due, because again, ADHD brain and I just forget. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. So most big conferences happen in the fall with the exception of CSM, because I think it's trying to off balance all the conferences that happen in the fall. So you're gonna have to check early January, February for those fall conferences. And maybe I'll tell you, we've got this conference upcoming, our proposal submissions open on this date. Great, write it down. Yep. For CSM, our proposal submissions open 2 weeks before CSM even starts for the next year, because that's how long it takes us to put it together. Now, do I agree with that? No, not really. Because I think if you're at CSM 2023, why are you already proposed to CSM 2024? We don't know what's coming yet, right? We haven't gone through what we already know to know what's coming. So, but that's the way it goes, because that conference is so big that that's how much time it takes. So if you want to propose to CSM for 2024, that submission portal's been closed for 8 months, 9 months. But that doesn't mean you can't look for 2025.
Yes.
But don't be scared to propose to CSM. It's a great place to practice your proposals. And if you get accepted, amazing, congratulations. But also don't be disappointed if you don't, because there are so many things you cannot control that go into those decisions.
A peer-reviewed academic conference is a peer-reviewed academic conference. Put it on the CV, check that box, on to the next one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now let's talk about the how. So I'm gonna be a little specific to CSM, because secrets to CSM proposals is what we put in the thing, and that's kind of why you're here. So so we're gonna talk about the structure a little bit, and I've already kind of given you the logistics, but we're gonna talk about the structure of who makes the decisions. So the section programming chairs, which is myself and then a whole big committee of other people, the committee of programming chairs, we are the ones that make the final decisions on what gets accepted to CSM. Our names are available for you along with our emails on every academy's website. So if you have questions, you wanna know what we're looking for, you wanna know what themes might need to be coming through, email us, please email us. You want to know if maybe your proposal is good? Email it to us. We will tell you what you might consider changing.
That's, but you guys won't need that information.
No, you won't, you already know. But that is literally our job, and no one takes advantage of that.
Reach out.
I've in 3 years of being the section programming chair, I'm at the end of my term now, I have had one speaker group reach out to me in advance to ask about their proposal, just one. And because they did, we were able to do a whole bunch of tweaks, and it ended up getting accepted by my committee. They ranked that thing so high, we had no choice but to accept it. And it was a really niche kind of thing. Really, really niche kind of thing. So, and it's so niche that it's specific to Boston. And it got accepted because CSM is in Boston. Right place, right time, right people, right audience. Everything lined up for them. But it's because they reached out, right? So please email us. That's what we're here for. We're happy to help you out and answer your questions. So that's gonna be kind of my soapbox thing is you need to email us. We also have a scoring system, so we're going to talk a little bit about the rubric that we use. I will caveat that the rubric is changing, but there's no way that we're going to get that done for next year. So maybe 25 or 26, but that process takes a really long time. How do the committee chairs make their decisions, right? Well, I already gave you the answer. It's all about our academy strategic plan. What aligns with our strategic plan? So in geriatrics, we have the 5 M's of geriatric care come out, multimorbidity, all of that stuff, movement, right? It's the 5 M's of geriatric care. We can align every single session we accepted this year with the 5 M's of geriatric care. That was our theme that came out. Our keynote is on it. Our first 4 sessions are all on laying that framework of the 5 M's of geriatric care. So if someone would have reached out to us and been like, hey, are you guys got anything on the 5 M's? We would have been like, yes, we've got like 12 things. Okay, then I'm not gonna propose on that because we've already got that covered. But it's all about the strategic plan of the academy you propose to. So after you look at your strategic plan, after you contact your committee programming chairs, there's also a committee of decisioners. So we call them our reviewers. And our reviewers are going to take a look at your proposal. So the section programming chairs don't look at it until the end. The reviewers get it first. My committee is 30 strong, and those are my content experts. I trust them to make these decisions because they know a lot more about a lot of stuff than I do. And most proposals are graded anywhere from between 3 and 10 times. So it's not just one person making your decision. It's usually a very large group of people. Then those decisions come to the section programming chairs, and we make the final calls with what aligns with our strategic priorities for our academy, what we think is going to be very interesting to the members, and also based on the feedback we get from the prior CSM. So you know how you're supposed to fill out those surveys and stuff? We get every single one of those back.
Yeah, please do that.
Please do them, because without that feedback, we don't know who said too many times. We don't know who was like outrageously boring and we never want to see them speak again. We don't know who's selling their stuff in their presentation, which is a huge no-no at CSM, right? So without your feedback, we can't make the informed decisions we need to make. We can only go off of what we have. So please do the surveys, because we literally read every single one of them. Once that goes back through the section programming chairs, decisions are then made. Now, it is somewhat flexible because we have on-demand CSM, right? So if people aren't in agreement to do on-demand or have their sessions recorded, there may be some flexibility. And we do have alternates that we hold to the side and say, if these people, you know, decline or they aren't willing or they have to withdraw, we have these backup sessions ready to go. As far as the rubric goes, we'll go through that shortly. We already talked about time slots and your academy, but let's talk about the secret and not so secret criteria. So the thing about these secrets is that they're not actually secrets, y'all. They really aren't. It's just that no one's told you that we consider these things yet. And we have no intention of keeping these things secret, but if we don't make them transparent to all of the people proposing, well, then they look like secrets, don't they? But they really aren't. It's just that no one has asked and we haven't told. So they're unintentional secrets. Title. Your title is the very first thing that people look at when they go into the conference platform. If the title is not interesting, no one's coming. Okay? So especially for education sessions, title is hugely important. Now, title for education sessions versus title for research platforms is going to be very different, right? Because research platform is a research platform. It better have a research title. But for education sessions, they can be as fun as you want to make them. We had one very recently that it was the Boston specific one. It talked about creating cocktails of treatment for patients with Lyme's disease. And it was something about putting the lime in the coconut and creating the cocktail in the title. And like, it was phenomenal. Like, that's going to catch people's attention, you know? So that really increased their score on their proposal.
I'm a fan of dad jokes. Students are not, but I use dad jokes and puns a lot in titles. I play around with things. And I think it just goes back to the English major thing, but use that creativity. We are creative as physical therapists. Use it.
Yep, for sure. Your outline is important. If we look at your outline and we see like 4 hours worth of content in a 90-minute session, it's not gonna work. We can't know that you're gonna get through the content that you proposed in that amount of time. We look at the number of topics that's in the outline. We look at the timing of it. The schedule is very critically reviewed by not only us as the SPCs, but also the committees. So you have to really, like, don't be too specific, because you don't want to list out like every single topic you talk about, but you want to be specific enough that it matches with your session description. If you have a minute by minute breakdown, I don't even want to see that. But if you have like maybe every 10 to 15 minutes or something like that, it's probably going to be good. We do actually check your references. We look up every single reference to make sure it's legitimate, that it's on topic, that it's new, that it comes from a good source, all of those things. Every single reference. So it's really hard to check them when y'all don't put the DOIs in. Please put the DOIs in. It makes our job so much easier. But we will still Google it and we will find it, and they are always checked. A little tip on references. The references you put in your proposal do not have to be the main references in your session. So if the main references in your session are maybe things that there's been no research on since 2015 and that doesn't fit our time criteria, don't put it in there. Put the newer ones in there, because that's what we as the reviewers grade. You're still using that newer content, right? That's why you're using that as a reference. But you don't have to put older references in just because they're your primary sources. And we already talked about your bio. There is a rubric. It's the next slide. Don't worry, we'll go over it. It's not really complicated. Active learning is crucial. No one wants to sit for 2 hours and do nothing except for sit there and listen to you talk. And we'll talk more about that too. And one of the new things for CSM is a presentation that makes the audience Monday morning ready. What can they take in Monday morning and use that they learned in your presentation? So you need to have your Monday morning ready tips ready to go. And they probably need to be really obvious in your proposal too. We talked about the fact that it needs to serve the academy and its members as far as the strategic plan goes, but you also might want to consider your number of speakers. In 2 hours or in 90 minutes, how many people can really talk about their passion? I mean, we could go on forever.
Yeah.
So just the two of us, we can take all day. That it's what we're passionate about. That's why we're here. So you don't want to be the only one up there, because like sage on the stage isn't really where we want education to go, and it's kind of boring, right? There are sessions that have one speaker that are accepted, but these people are like the absolute expert guru type of presenters in their game.
And they're good presenters.
And they're really good presenters. Yeah, exactly. But if you have more than four or five, we're thinking like, man, that many people really can't express their passion in that amount of time. It's too much. So there are panel type presentations where you have more, and we get that. But if it's not that type of presentation, scale it back. Yeah. Not everybody needs to present.
And two or three, kind of a nice Goldilocks zone. But also think about, if I was proposing mine as an individual and getting rejected, bringing on that second person who is an expert and has the background in speaking and has done this, riding their coattails, good idea, right? That's a person you want to bring on.
Yeah.
Right? Use their name, use that leverage.
So I don't mean to interrupt.
Yeah,
no, please.
I
raise my hand, so yes, I do. So I was a member of the Neuro Sections Planning Committee.
Yeah.
So I've done all of the reviewing.
Yes.
Aspect, and when you're thinking about number of speakers, it's also important that your speakers don't all come from the same institution.
Oh gosh, yes.
Because then the perception is you are just going to be biased about what you do and why what your institution does is the best.
Selling what you've got.
So if you can create those networking partnerships and get that project with people from multiple locations together, that's going to be looked on more favorably than just, hey, here's me and my buddies.
Yeah, you're not an echo chamber, right?
Right. Yeah. And the other thing is, when you're thinking about your topic, you could have a hot topic like high intensity interval gait training is a big deal in neuro world right now. But George Hornby kind of has that topic wrapped up.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does.
Population. And like we had, I think it was something this past year for 2024, we had something like, I think it was like 20 or 30 submissions on high intensity gait training alone.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, we're not accepting all of those for, especially when your topic is stroke, you have a better chance of getting that accepted looking at a different population that is not commonly studied, like the chronic disease.
Yeah. Yeah. Niche so down, right? Niche down.
As
niche
great
down.
As it is that you guys have that you this at your facility,
yay,
we are already like
So with George Hornby's info on strokes.
And you would know that if you email the
yeah, email us. We will tell you. Don't do that.
So please proofread.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, we're going to get to that. Okay. We're going to get to that. Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
So even in my presentation on high intensity interval training, on our neurocondition slide, we cited Hornby, and we said, go look at his work, because he is the owner of this field, and we cannot make further contributions than what he has already done.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna cross that line. He knows way more than I do. I'm not the expert there. All right, a number of proposals. Within each academy, we will not take more than two from the same primary speaker. Now, we can't track that really over the course of all academies, but right before decisions come out, the SPCs do all get together and we list out the number of total presentations by all speakers, and we look for any more than two to three per speaker, and we make some decisions on who needs to go. There's a lot of background work that happens to make sure that there's a diversity of opinions represented, hopefully. So let's talk about that rubric real quick. It's really simple. It's really not a complex rubric, y'all. It's actually kind of ridiculous. So it's scored 1 to 5. 1 is unacceptable. 2 is somewhere in between 1 and 3. Good is that there's at least one major weakness, but it kind of fits the other criteria. 4 is somewhere between 3 and 5. And strong is there's no major weaknesses.
Looks like some manual muscle tests.
I know. I mean, PTs all the way. You know, this is how we run our conferences. So we score you on 3 major categories. There are 4, but 2 of them are pretty much the same. So current and significant content to the academy and its members. What's your scope? What's your focus, right? Are you that person? And allows for questions and feedback. If you don't have built-in question feedback time, probably not gonna get accepted. It has to be built into your outline.
And truth be told, that's where I get the most value.
Yeah.
At the very end, when I can ask my personal selfish question, that's when I shine. Like, I wanna hear that. That's what I came for.
Mm-hmm. Your expertise on your topic. So we already talked about your bio and your speaking experience. We do grade you on that. So CSM is not blinded. We have to score you on your experience, so we have to have your bio. I know that there is some discussion around that topic, but I honestly don't know that that's going to change for CSM. We may somehow remove names. I'm not really sure if that'll make a difference, but yeah.
So truth be told, even if it is blinded, when you see a research agenda and something coming across, you can kind of put together the pieces of who's submitting this thing. Like, oh, I know this guy's research, it's definitely him, right? Or at least his crew.
Yeah.
You know, so like, even with blinded, there's gonna be biases whether you like it or not. So again, it's part of the game, right? We gotta do the best we can. We've gotta optimize by using all this stuff to get the best possible chance we can, and then realize you may still get rejected, so.
And then the last thing is the number one thing that gets expert presenters declined. If you do not use correct grammar and spelling and clear writing in your proposal, we cannot make the assumption that you'll do better when you present it.
Now the English major comes in.
Now the English major comes in. So we're gonna give you some tools to kind of, you know, take that workload of doing that down. So don't worry about that.
If we look back at the bio again, make it personal, make it to that conference, make it specific, right? If we look back at ours, we pulled important information, put it in. Objectives, you have to know the language that comes with objectives. The easiest way to do that, Bloom's taxonomy, right? We use it day in and day out in academia. Use these words. Attendees will define this. Attendees will be able to classify this, this, and this. Use these words. This is it. That, write your objectives right from here.
This is what we are looking for. This is it. And then you have to put in your level of your session, right? I know, it's like, it kills us when we read these things. So you have to put in the level of your session, beginner, intermediate, or advanced, right? If you are giving me all objectives that are down here and you tell me you're doing an advanced session, I'm going to deny you.
Yeah.
Because that is not how this works. If you are giving me all stuff up here and it's a beginner session, not gonna happen. We literally look at this stuff and this is how we make those decisions. Your content needs to align with the level you are presenting it at. Because remember, we have students coming too, right? You can't be up there if you're doing a student presentation. In your content description, you have to put what your proposal is about, right? Make it fun. Don't make people sit for 2 hours. Please, no one wants to do that. That's what old CSM is. We don't want it to old CSM anymore. We want people up and moving. for my high intensity interval training presentation at CSM in 22. We spent an entire hour of the 2 hours designing and performing exercise programs within the content description. Everyone came, I even put it on social media. If you want your 8 a.m. Saturday morning workout, come to my presentation. Plenty of people left because they didn't want to participate, but plenty stayed and actually did it, which was really great. Key phrases that you want to use to gain attention should align with the Academy's strategic priorities. Use the same words that the strategic plans use to help align the content. When you are making your outline, please make it worth the attendee's time. Make it obvious in the outline, because they will see that in Convex. Make it obvious in the outline that they are going to learn things they will need to know and use immediately. Show it in every part of your proposal. So now that you have all the parts, we're gonna give you a couple tips on like the last little bits, and then we're gonna all work on this together. So I mentioned references that we actually do check all of them. New is important, quality is important, and relevance is key. But sometimes when you're presenting on things you just kind of know, like this presentation, it's hard to find references for that, right? Because this is something I just know because I do this as the CSM programming chair. There are no references for that, and I can't cite Convex. So that doesn't work. So when we proposed this session, we were like, man, we don't have much in the way of references other than Bloom's, and that's from like 2001 was the Anderson and Krathwohl update. So, you know, that doesn't look very good. So we went to, again, our librarian, yep, and we said, hey, here's what we're presenting. Here's our content description. Help us find things that support this. And she, within an hour, sent back 10 things, and we read through them, and we were like, yes, this is exactly it.
I would not have gotten my dissertation and passed if it wasn't for our librarians. I'll just state that outwardly. They are amazing, they're phenomenal, they're great references. Use them. They will help you with this stuff. And truth be told, like, luckily, because of brand, because of name, because of reputation, we know a lot of this stuff, and that helped. But you still need the references, and so that's why we had to go back to the librarians and ask for help, right? Because it's a bunch of multifactorial things that go into getting the best possible chance for acceptance. So yeah, we've got some experience, check that box. But if we don't have the data and the references, it's like, meh, sorry.
Yeah, and you'll see in our reference list, there's information about how to identify predatory conferences, how to write conference proposals, how to, there's some in there about even turning your dissertation into proposals and how to go about that process. And it's not that we use every single bit of information from those, right? But we did use quite a bit of it to make sure that we were hitting what was gonna be most important to y'all. So methods, start your outline, chat with others, mind map it out, but please include active learning. And we're gonna do a little more active learning pretty much right now. And live polling is something that a lot of CSM presenters wanna use. We've done a lot of live polling here at ELC. At CSM, we cannot get the internet connection strong enough for 20,000 people.
Yeah, try to avoid it. I've done it. I've had a lot of failures at it. I've worked on back ways and just all these different ways, but it's hit or miss. You gotta know the conference, you gotta know the internet availability. This is a smaller conference, so even with all of us on Wi-Fi and stuff, we still have the internet capacity to do videos and do things, polling and stuff. You've probably seen it in some of the presentations. CSM's a crapshoot. I wouldn't recommend it. If you can avoid it, find other ways. Raise the old hand, do whatever you gotta do, but and try to avoid tech glitches.
There's option here. You can use Poll Everywhere, you can use Kahoot, you can use Mentimeter, but you can't show it to your audience because that would require an internet connection. So your audience can do it on their phone and you can see the results on your phone, but good for you, your audience can't see any of that. So you can talk about it, but MIT came out with a short presentation, it's like 7 to 8 minutes, on personal response systems. And you can use a lot of options in this presentation for polling. None of them use an internet connection. And all of these are like pretty recent things that are out there, and most of them are free. So you can scan that QR code and that will take you to Dr. Rankin's presentation on how to do that. She's also got a lot of really other cool stuff out there. So I'll let everyone scan that real quick. So when I have speakers email me and say, hey, I'd really like to do polling, I'm like, yeah, that's great. So you can't, but here's all these resources of what you can do. And this is exactly what you see here. This is what I sent to them. Everybody got it? All right. All right, so we're gonna go back one slide and you guys are gonna do the work. So you've got all your pieces now, you know what's needed. You know your passion, you know your bio, you know your what, how, when, why, where, and all that stuff.
A common active learning technique that you
heard. Yeah, she's good, right? Got it. That's ranking right there. I've watched those videos 1,000 times. They're really good. So let's go ahead and put this together. All right, so.
2 minutes, quick. Mind map, flash
mind
it out.
Mind map it out, really out. Quick. They're all
verbal,
staring at
verbal. Put them on the page. Think of your mind map on how this is going to, what you're going to put together, some thoughts, some ideas, some big takeaways for your next proposal.
Mm-hmm. I mind map my dissertation proposal for next year already at ELC, like while I was in between sessions, and it took about 5 minutes. Ready. It needs a better title for sure, but.
That's why you come to me. That's why you pay me the big bucks.
Okay. So
another major key alert.
I told you guys I was going to give you some tips on decreasing the workload of this. We actually added this last night because there have been so many sessions on AI at this conference. And I was like, well, shoot, I use AI all the time to do this. So let's tell them how to do that too. You can use AI to do this. It is okay. You just have to do it smart, okay? You can't have AI create your stuff for you. You have to create your stuff. But you can use AI to help filter it properly. So if you're not sure where to start with your proposal, you can go look at other proposals. The Context platform for CSM is available all the time. It never goes away, so you can always go back in there. Or you can have ChatGPT produce something for you so that you have somewhere to start from, okay?
AI is not good with references.
It
makes
bad.
Them up, it just blurts
them
out.
Don't do that.
References aren't gonna work. This isn't gonna write your stuff for you, but it'll give you an outline.
Yep.
It'll give you a starting point.
Yep.
That saves some time, right?
In all the manuscripts I have written, abstracts are the worst part to write. Because like, how do I summarize my 8,000 words in 250 words? ChatGPT can do it for me.
Yep. Different versions.
And I usually produce 3 to 4 different versions, and I kind of combine and pick and choose.
Yep. Greatest hits.
Yeah, I didn't like fake an abstract. I wrote all the content. I just had ChatGPT filter it down. That's okay. I use it for all of the media and advertising posts you see about CSM. Those are all created using ChatGPT. I use the prompt system, and I just change who the audience is in the prompt. There's one for students, there's one for professionals, there's one for academicians, and there's one for clinicians. Social media posts, if you want to advertise your session, have ChatGPT write your social media posts for you. It's super easy. You just put in the prompts for it. It will format your references for you if you put in your whole reference list, so it won't give you references. But if you give it references and say reformat to APA 7, it will do that for you.
Pretty nice. That's a time saver.
Yep. And when I create my posters for presentations at conferences, I put in my manuscript and I say reduce this to X number of words. I get 3 or 4 versions and I pick the ones I like the best and I pop it on my poster. I can create a poster in about 15 minutes. Work smarter, not harder.
Yep. So we'll come back to Kitty's video if we have time. I want to leave time at the end for questions. Kitty's video, I can give you guys the link to. We'll give you this presentation too. You can just email us. Kitty's very specific to international conferences. So if you guys are interested in that, her 7-minute video there is great. But some of the alternative conferences we just want to touch on real quick. Again, think outside your field, right? Outside of the field of PT, we don't conference well anyway. Go enjoy other conferences, okay? Right. Outside of the country, right. Kitty stuff, right? International, think big, think huge. There's a Physio Sports Congress. There's a Canadian conference. World Physio Congress happens every 2 years, right? It's in Japan in 2025. Yeah, David was there at last year's. I mean, think big. Think like not just in your little PT bubble in your little local space. Let's go international, right? Platforms, posters. We talked about the different, you know, formats we can use. Public events, right? Maybe you're just something local on population health. Like, hey, we're having this festival thing. We'd like somebody to present on wellness or fall prevention. Let's start there. Let's put something together for the public, maybe. Then like maybe let's turn it into something bigger. Let's see what we can do with it, right?
I was the doc for Walk with the Doc in Fort Worth 2 weeks ago.
There you go. Special events, right? Look for journals and or conferences that are looking for a special topic. Sometimes they'll be like content specific topics they're looking for. Go after that. Like this month is Falls Awareness Month. We need articles on falls. Great. Here's mine, right? Mm-hmm. Right place, right time, right person, right? TED Talks. I'm trying. I'm working on it. It's a long process, but they're available. You can do it, right? We have the authority to do that. We have the permission to do that. We have the credentials, the knowledge, the power. We can do these. We can do TED Talks. Legislative breakfast, this is a big one, goes back to advocacy, right? Mm-hmm. Present your stuff to the people that are gonna make the change and the impact and tell them why it's important, right? Show them why, tell them why it's important, show them again, and then tell them again, just don't stop, right? And then again, the predatory conferences, stay out for that. If you do all this stuff successfully, if you brand yourself, if you put this out there, if you become the expert and authority on your zone of genius, then you can also look at getting paid speaking gigs. Companies have big budgets for speakers to come in and talk about things like leadership, organizational change, how to educate a big workforce. Guess what? We can do that too, and they pay big money for that. Mm-hmm. So that's why brand is important. That's why putting your whole, this is who I am, is important, right? If you are known as the expert in that thing, you can command a good price for that. So think about that too. Because I'm not getting paid big bucks for these conferences, but there's some out there that I can get paid for pretty big. And those are things you should look for too, because you should be compensated for your expertise, right? We put in a lot of time, effort, blood, sweat, and tears. We should be paid for what we're worth, our value, right? So that's what this all leads to eventually.
And we've already kind of hit on this topic, but get mentoring. Get the big names that are already out there in your field, academics, researchers, people who have presented at CSM before. Talk to them, ask them to help you out, offer them, you know, if you help me just structure this, I'll put your name on it. And academics, that works for us. We need scholarly products. So great, thanks. I'll help you structure it and then you present it. We're good to go.
They know the game. They'll lend out their name. Like, it's just part of the thing and we're helping you. Hey, we've done it a bunch of times. Here's how we'll help you, right?
And then once you've got it down, please go out and mentor other people. Yes. We don't have nearly enough people teaching others how to do this. So please be that person. Once you've kind of got it down and you've done a few, you've got them under your belt, go out and grab others and bring them with you.
Perfect example, right? Tons of rejections, new grad, no idea what the hell I was doing. Mary Blackington comes to the rescue, shows me how to do it, brings me in on her platform, opens the floodgates, and now I do it, and now I help others do it.
Yep. For my CSM presentation, it was two of us researchers from Texas, like, hey, we love this thing. One of them was a cardiopulm specialist. I needed that because I was proposing to the cardiopulm section. Right, so that was her. And then the other one, I called up Mike Shoemaker, author of the Heart Failure Clinical Practice Guideline. I said, hey, will you talk about HIT specific to cardiovascular disease? And he was like, yes, I'm on it. And it got accepted because we had the names and the credentials behind the content.
Multifactorial, it's not just one thing.
And if you need us, here we are.
Yeah, so definitely email, find us on Twitter, on all the socials, right? We'll definitely be willing to give you this PowerPoint presentation.
Yep.
And I don't know if this accidentally got recorded somehow and it makes it out there, we'd be glad to share that with you as well if you missed anything. But also, I'll put the link up for kiddies too, for the international stuff. But we really wanted to open up to questions for you guys so we could get that selfish ask, like, what do you need help with? Because that's, again, where I get the most out of these things. So please, have at it.
Can I also give another suggestion for people?
Please.
Yes, please.
Volunteer to be reviewers.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
I know some of the
still get accepted as a reviewer too.
Some of the sections it might be harder to get into, but being a reviewer, just like writing writers for the tests, being a reviewer gives you an inside look at the rubrics and also helps you mentor a little bit because you see what others are submitting and how it's being done.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that episode was entertaining as much as it was informational and educational. If you enjoyed this episode or any of our past episodes, we ask you to please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a rating and review. And please share out the episodes to those who you feel may be able to benefit from them. We also urge you to follow us on all social media platforms at HET Podcast and let us know what topics or experts you would like to hear from in future episodes. And just as a reminder, none of the information on today's show should be considered medical advice. It's simply infotainment or edutainment to help educate our audience. For medical advice, we always advise you to reach out to your preferred medical professionals, and we'll see you on the next show.